portion of Eliezer ben Yair, his message. We believe he probably was the last one, and then would have taken his life. Here's what he said. Brave and loyal followers, long ago we resolved to serve neither the Romans nor anyone other than God himself, who alone is the true and just Lord of mankind. The time has now come that bids us prove our determination by our deeds. At such a time, we must not disgrace ourselves. Hitherto, we have never submitted to slavery, even when it brought no danger with it. We must not choose slavery now, and with it penalties that will mean the end of everything if we fall alive into the hands of the Romans. God, who has given us this privilege that we can die nobly and as free men, in our case it is evident that daybreak will end our resistance. But we are free to choose an honorable death with our loved ones. Let our wives die unabused, our children without knowledge of slavery. After that, let us do each other an ungrudging kindness, preserving our freedom as a glorious winding sheet. But first, let our possessions and the whole fortress go up in flames. It will be a bitter blow to the Romans, that I know, to find our persons beyond their reach and nothing left for them to loot. One thing only let us spare, our store of food. It will bear witness when we are dead to the fact that we perished not through want, but because, as we resolved at the beginning, we chose death rather than slavery. Come, while our hands are free and can hold a sword, let them do a noble service. Let us die unenslaved by our enemies and leave this world as free men, in company with our wives and children. Well, it was a remarkable discovery in the 1960s when Yigal Yadin came here. You might find this interesting, as yours truly is the first group who was ever on here 40 years ago. Now, one of the most exciting things that happened, and actually came in 1968, was in this storeroom. The archaeologists around Yigal Yadin in this storeroom found a number of fragments. In fact, I have to keep my notes straight so I don't stretch the truth or tell you something that's not true. In this synagogue, in that storeroom, there's a plate of a little metal box in the floor where you put your most precious possessions. And in that little box was found portions of Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the law, chapters 33 and 34, and Ezekiel 35 to 38, which included the dry bones vision of 37. But as I looked at all of this, I thought, you know what? We need to put on tape so people understand that what everybody found here, as they continued to read these beautiful Hebrew letters, stunned by their beauty, by their easy-to-read nature, but they also were stunned by the message. There were actually four chapters in Ezekiel that were fragments of manuscripts. And I want to just briefly tell you, as we record this for our future broadcast, I want you to know what those chapters are about and why it was so significant. Mazar and his now relatives, who are also archaeologists, in fact are still stunned by what happened 40 years ago. First of all, in that portion in Ezekiel chapter 36, it records the restoration of the land. Now you have to think about that for a moment. They found this about 1 year after the Six-Day War. But preceding that, they had been doing digging here in the 60s. But finding that manuscript in that storeroom was absolutely a shock to the entire Jewish world. Restoration of the land in Ezekiel 36 spoke of the following things. One, that there would be trees covering this land. That passage says that the Lord God of Israel would speak to the mountains. Now, God doesn't want you to talk to plants and trees and mountains, but he can. He's the creator of all things. But he told the mountains to bring forth trees in abundance. And the point of it is that the whole world will know that it is a miracle from him, and they will know that the Lord, he is God. So he predicted it in a desolate land. And even if you read books that are written before 1948, you are astonished to read what they saw. A land of swamps, deserts, rocks, and often it is mentioned, and no trees in sight. But since 1948, through the Jewish National Fund and people all over the world, including yours truly, we have planted trees here. Millions of them. And the whole world kind of ignores it. But we need to speak about it and broadcast it everywhere, because God said, this is one way you will know that I am the Lord God. He predicted it 2,500 years almost before it ever happened. It wasn't just trees, it was fruit. Now, can you believe this little piece of real estate would produce and multiply fruit for the entire world? And yet today, 80% of the fruit products of the European Union are coming right out of Israel. Israel is now a major fruit-bearing power, second only to the U.S. and Canada. So we have an amazing thing that we're looking at here. Not only the restoration of trees and fruit, but of cattle. It mentions specifically there'd be cattle all over the land, which of course it is a land of milk and honey. The second thing that is recorded in those fragments is the return of the Jewish people to this land. In most of those who come here and talk about what was found in the synagogue, because they think it's just the dry bones vision, they don't say what needs to be said. The Bible actually predicts that God would bring Jews from every country of the world to live in Israel. That's in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 24. Now, some say that refers to the countries in existence at that day. If that is so, then it's already done. But it's more likely that it refers to the time in which the Messiah will return, which is what the whole section is about. How many nations are there in the world? Well, there's 191. How many of those countries have Jews in Israel right now? And the answer is 182. If you're not ready for the return of the Messiah, in my opinion, you ought to get your bags packed. It won't be long. Now, the third thing that that fragment said is so important to us, and that's the regeneration of Jewish hearts. Often God would say, in speaking of repentance, I will sprinkle clean water on you. But he actually said he'd put a new spirit in them. The same exact thing was on the mind of a ruler of the Jews named Nicodemus, who came to Yeshua at night. And Yeshua, anticipating him, said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That was the message of Ezekiel chapter 36. And it is true. It taught that one day the Jewish people would be regenerated or born again. So in the manuscripts that were found in the storeroom, we have first the restoration of the land, secondly, the return of the Jewish people to the land, third, the regeneration of Jewish hearts, and number four, how many of you have ever read Ezekiel 38 and 39, Gog and Magog invasion, right? Well, what that's really all about, if you look at the context, is the revenge of God against those who think they can attack Israel. God is going to destroy them on the mountains of Israel. And as we record this message and send it around the world, The fact of the matter is, most people don't believe this is going to happen. But they are disturbed because we live in a dangerous world with nuclear proliferation and many other things. People, especially in military powers, are concerned about what may happen to planet Earth. Well, God tells you what's going to happen. The day of God's vengeance is coming. And the revenge of God against a world that turned their backs on Him is absolutely coming, and Ezekiel says so. Just two more things. In those fragments they found in the storeroom here, not only was it the restoration of the land, the return of the Jewish people, the regeneration of Jewish hearts, the revenge of God against nations who attacked Israel, but number five, it talks about the reign of the Messiah himself. Now, Ahmadinejad said that he is Arab, not Jewish, and he said it in front of the United Nations. Well, Ahmadinejad is headed for hell, not heaven, and it is not an Arab Messiah. It is not the 13th Mahdi of Islam. It is a Jewish Messiah who is coming, and he will set up a kingdom that will never end. And that's what they found in the storeroom. No wonder 40 years ago, and I was here, no wonder there was such excitement. And the final thing is the rebuilding of the temple. Do you realize that the chapters that followed what they found, 9 chapters deal in Ezekiel with the rebuilding of the temple. What Zechariah 6, 12, and 13 says, the Messiah himself as both king and priest will rebuild the temple of the Lord. And it will be a kingdom that will never be destroyed. It will be forever. And so what we're seeing here, you can walk in here and walk out and say, oh yeah, there's an ancient synagogue, and forget what happened. That day when they gathered around that little pen in the floor and pulled those fragments out, you have no idea what it was like. It was so exciting, they almost could not contain themselves. These are archaeologists who have seen many, many things on Masada. But when they saw those manuscripts, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable, the response. And I think we have lost some of that. And that's why we're recording this now for international radio. This will be broadcast all over the world. We need the world to know what happened here. Masada will never fall again. Amen. And we can thank the Lord God of Israel for it. Let's conclude this with a word of prayer, and then you'll be free to talk more freely. Let's pray. Lord God of Israel, we thank you for the privilege of being here, of experiencing this, of learning what was here in this synagogue on Masada. And God, I pray you'd open up our minds and hearts that we would see the truth of the Messiah himself and his kingdom that will last forever. And we thank you in the blessed name of our Lord Yeshua, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, do those